Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you all doing?
Well, I'm wonderful. Yeah. This is Marlene.
Hi, Marlene. And I heard Minerva.
Yeah.
I heard some others. We're going to get started here pretty quick because we've got a lot to cover.
Yeah.
So be praying with me that all will go well and that all the people who need to come on to this call
mm-hmm.
will actually get on and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going
Hi, this is Diane.
Hi, Diane. I'm so glad you're with us tonight.
Oh, thank you.
What I'm going to do in a moment here is mute everybody, and I'll explain how this goes. First, I'm going to mute you, and then I'll explain. I will not know who's on the call until afterwards. The free conference call company will send me a list of all your phone numbers, so I'll know that you are on the call. I don't always know who the phone number belongs to, but it helps. So hang on here a minute. You will be able to unmute yourself by hitting *6. And you will do that during the time when we give you a chance to ask questions, or if something, if you can't hear or have a problem with a call, you can do it at that time. Now, it's impossible for us to keep track of everyone who attends this class, so I would really like to ask you to contact me if you attended and let me know what you thought of the class, any suggestions you have, and if we're able to put them into action, we will. If you would like to meet somebody in your area who is like-minded, let me know, because we have contacts from all over the United States, and many people feel kind of isolated. I'm kind of isolated right here where I am in Sulphur Springs, Texas. I'm in the middle of the Bible Belt, and there aren't too many people here that want to talk with me about El Morya. And then if you would like to stay updated more about the Heart Center activities, their offers and their services, or if you would like to work with us, let me know and we will contact you. I want to just briefly explain to you what the Heart Center movement is about, because we have new people on our call every time we have a call. The Heart Center movement is composed of many heart friends. We call them heart friends if you like what we're doing. And our heart friends' mission is to hold the balance of light upon the earth, which is coming down strongly right now. And we hold the balance of light on the earth by first intimately knowing, learning to know our own God presence, also known as our higher self, our oversoul, our Father, Mother, God, our solar presence, many names. And then we discover our reason for being, and then we learn how to emanate light in ways that are directed by our I Am presence, our higher self. The Heart Center consists of people from every imaginable religious or non-religious background, Catholic, Buddhist, Baptist, Unitarians, you name it. We learn to work closely with the Ascended Masters and the angels and other cosmic beings, but the Ascended Masters are those who live here on this planet, and they have fulfilled their karmic debt, and they have ascended. There is no formal membership to the Heart Center organization. Those who are led to work with the Masters simply join in our activities with us. They listen to the broadcast when they're able or to the replays. They take on responsibility with us as their God presence, their Father, Mother, God, guides them to do so. Now for the class, I would suggest you have a pencil and paper if you would like to take any notes, and use a speakerphone if possible, if you have a speakerphone. If you don't, I would encourage you to get one because it is so much easier to enjoy the class. They cost about $5 more than your regular other phones, or you may have one on your cell phone. I will keep the callers muted to eliminate the background noise, and again, I have muted you. You can unmute yourself if you press *6. If you simply have to, or if we should speak louder, and during the question and answer times when we invite you to press *6. during our class, which is going to be about 90 minutes, we will have a pranayama meditation. We will do a couple of prayers and a song. And at the end, we will have a time to take prayer requests. There are many people with prayer needs right now. We're being tested in all different ways. That's at the last 10 minutes of our class that we do the prayer time. Tonight, we're going to hear a heart stream from El Moria, in which most of the questions that were in the invitation that you received, either by email or by snail mail, are going to be answered, and much more, I hope. Now, I would like one of our HeartShare team members to give an opening invocation. Are any of you there yet? Then could volunteer. If you are, hit star 6 and give an opening invocation for the rest of our class.
I'm here, Donna. It's Barbara.
Oh, good. Barbara, go ahead.
Oh, beloved Father, Mother, God, we are so grateful for this opportunity to bask in your light and to share with one another these wonderful teachings. Open our hearts to be receptive to your light and love, to the Holy Spirit moving within our lives. We call to beloved El Moria to overshadow our proceedings tonight and to be with each one of us in a very personal way to help us understand and be responsive to his message and to his great love. Thank you again for the opportunity to be together. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. All right. Now we are going to do a breathing meditation, which is also called pranayama. And we do this, as I mentioned, at each class to relax and align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. I want you to consider your breath as a gift and a part of the Holy Spirit as we do this, which you can do if you need to with a phone in one hand. Now I want you to close your eyes. Look at the inside of your eyelids. Any pictures that come there, just send them away. Look up. If you have a light in your room, keep your eyes closed and look towards the light. That kind of helps. Visualize your breath coming in and out as a brilliant light entering every cell of your body. Even now, start to take big breaths. Mother Mary said that the Holy Spirit is of a female gender, and thus we refer to the Holy Spirit as her. This has new thing that happened this past year. Now follow me as I say a mantra and as I give you instructions. I'm going to give you instructions to breathe in to the count of 8, to hold it in to the count of 8, breathe it out to the count of 8, and hold it out to the count of 8. So we'll do that first. Breathe in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Breathe out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now I'm going to say a little mantra to the Holy Spirit. Each sentence is 8 syllables. So as I say each sentence, you be breathing in or holding it or breathing out or holding it out. So here's the first sentence to breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. I absorb all of her merit. I breathe out her light to the world. And you can see it blessing people. Now hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. We'll do it again. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. I absorb all of her merit. I breathe out her light to the world. I am seeing God's love unfurled. Ah, as you breathe in and that Holy Spirit enters all of your cells, you can keep visualizing this as we're doing the class. You will think clearly. You will feel the presence of your Father, Mother, God stronger and stronger. Now we are going to say an easy mantra to stir up the violet flame. You will be able to hear me and say it with me slowly. I want you to visualize yourself surrounded in violet as you say it with me. If you are near a computer and you happen to be comfortable with it, for better visualization, you can go to our website and you will see the violet flame enveloping Heart Friends and its cleansing love. If you have any questions at this time about what the violet flame is all about, press star 6 now. Okay, here we go. Say this with me. I'll say it slowly. You won't be able to hear anybody but me. I am a being of cosmic violet fire.
I am
the holy freedom God desires. I am a beam of cosmic violet fire. I am the holy freedom God desires. I am a beam of cosmic violet fire. I am the holy freedom God desires. I am a being of cosmic violet fire. I am the holy freedom God desires. I am a being of cosmic violet fire. I am the holy freedom God desires. Visualize yourself surrounded by violet fire, violet flame. As we say this one more time. I am a being of cosmic violet fire. I am the holy freedom God desires. Now we are going to call to Archangel Michael. He said to call, he said, and I quote him, call to us, meaning the archangels, at any time, at any and all hours of the day and night. So we can call to him now. And he also said that when you call to me, if you want to call to a particular archangel, you can. But he said, when you call to me, they all get the word. They all know. And if there's a particular one that needs help, needs to help you, he will send them to us. And they have legions of angels serving under each of them. And the angels go out and perform what needs to be done for each of us. So this time we're going to say, Shield of Faith. If you happen to have a prayer book, this is prayer number 10.017, Shield of Faith. And you can say it with me. In the name of Archangel Michael and Faith, I pray. Shield of Faith before, behind, protect my body, soul, and mind. To the right, to the left, and round my being, let choirs of faith and Michael sing, and cosmic bells of victory ring. Shield of faith above, below, let blue flame angels round me glow, to the right, to the left, and all about, let choirs of faith and Michael shout, their love now win and darkness rout. This is very powerful, and it's easy to visualize yourself being surrounded by blue angels, great, large blue angels. Those are the angels of Archangel Michael. They're blue, and they're very large. You can say this prayer at any time. It's on our website under Prayers and Songs, which is under the word Media on the purple menu bar. You'll see Prayers and Songs. And you go all the way down till you see 10.017, and that's Shield of Faith. Okay, now we're going to sing. And Barbara, if you're there, if you could lead everybody for a few minutes in I Am a Being of Cosmic Violet Fire, because I'm going to get O Holy Dove, which we're going to sing. So get out your song sheets that has O Holy Dove. Okay, now we're getting ready to play the Heart String by El Morya. Before we do that, I want to tell you a little bit about El Morya. El Morya is what we call a Chohan of the rays. In fact, he's the lord of the first ray, the blue ray, of power and God's will. He has a retreat over Darjeeling, India. And some of his past incarnations were Akbar of India, and you may have seen that movie, which I can't quite remember the name of it right now, but it was about Akbar. Abraham, who you're familiar with in the Bible, King Arthur, Thomas More, Melchior of the Three Wise Men, and there's many others. He was quite a powerful being in the past, and he's very much in our bandstand right now, rooting for us, working with us, loving us, caring us for us. He invited us at one time, and I'm sure this invitation still holds. He said, if you will, when you first get up in the morning, just stop and meditate for a minute, and then write in your journal whatever comes to your mind about what you're feeling about God and what you should do for the day. He said, I will dictate through you. When you look back and read what you have written, you will just be amazed. Very few people believe that, so they don't do it. But it is powerful. I did it. I did it for a long time, and I learned a lot about what God wanted me to do and where I was going and what my shortcomings were and where I could have more patience and understanding with my family and work with them better and the things that I needed to grow in the most. It's a wonderful, wonderful time and a wonderful offer that he made. Now tonight we're talking about the divine economy. We're talking, and if you can't talk about the divine economy without thinking about our current economy, which is rather challenging right now. On this class, we don't talk about political viewpoints at all, but we can talk about some of the challenges that we have. I don't blame any of our presidents. They're not economists. They need prayer from us that they will choose the right economists and the right people to help them. And I did read that in the last 20 years, they have probably not done that. There was a very funny YouTube called Quantitative Easing. Does anybody know what quantitative easing is, what it's all about? Well, on this little YouTube, there were two cartoon characters, and they were talking back and forth in kind of a monotone. And one of them said, did you hear about the Fed? Did you know that they announced another round of quantitative easing? And the other little cartoon character said, what is quantitative easing? And eventually he says, it means they are going to print $600 billion. So we go down a little bit, and he talks about deflation. And he says, the federal government says that we have inflation. And then he said, why do they say we have deflation? Or rather, we have deflation, excuse me. And one of the little characters says, I don't understand why we have deflation. But aren't the food prices higher than a year ago? Yes. Aren't the gas prices higher than a year ago? Yes. Aren't the health care prices and the tuition prices higher? Yes. Aren't the taxes and transportation higher? Yes. Aren't the stocks and bond prices higher? Yes. Then why do they say we're having deflation? So at the end, he says, I'm just going to read these few little parts. He says, the woman says, the female cartoon character says to the man, has quantitative easing ever been tried before? And his answer is yes, last year. Federal government tried the quantitative easing with $2 trillion. He says, did that create jobs? No. Did it help the housing market? No. Did it help anyone at all? Yes. Who did it help? Well, it helped Goldman Sachs. How much money are they printing now? $600 billion. So even the first $2 trillion didn't create jobs or help the housing market, and the federal government decided to print another $600 billion anyway? Yes. So that's all I'm going to read, but it explains what I think, if you will listen carefully to this heart stream, it explains what El Morya is up against and what he's concerned about and what he prophesies about. So here we go. Hang on, and I'll bring this up right now.
Darjeeling, I descend into this city and place my electronic presence both here and with the Lady Liberty. As I reclaim New York for liberty. When you raise your torch on high, through the light that you invoke, Blessed One, then you participate with this goddess in the great work of the ages to instill the flame of illumination through the law of life into the arena of action in the world of form. Part and parcel to this dynamic is the giving forth of progressive revelation from your heart as you inspire upon others that which will move them into action, into a progressive life of living within that flame, within that light that will lead them to their eternal perfectionment, liberation, and victory. Much has transpired of late within this city and within Washington, D.C., that is problematic for the ongoingness of Saint Germain's plan of freedom for this nation and her people. And so you have seen the crumbling of the order, which has been disorder within the banking system and now within the housing markets and the manipulation through the mortgage policies and procedures that has resulted in the loss of many homes. Across this nation, bringing despair as a blight upon the economy and the hope of humanity across the globe.
Just briefly, I want to remind you that he said in the beginning that one of the things we need to do is give forth progressive revelation from our heart. I want you to be thinking about what that must be and how we can do that as we continue this heart stream. And I would like to share with you briefly, El Morya spoke to us this morning in our broadcast. He's really getting with it here. He's very concerned, you can tell. And he said this morning, I call to task those within the Congress who have initiated spirals of darkness through legislation that takes away the freedom of this people, erodes it brick by brick. And I say, you shall not pass this day, for the hand of God is upon you, and the voice of this people cries out. Know that the all-seeing eye of God sees all that you conspire in secret, affirming not that which is the original intent of the founders of this great nation. He goes on and he says, those who have not studied the truth are inept and will continue to create evil, that veil of energy that hides the divine will because of their ignorance. Therefore I say to the Congress, wise up, O ye leaders. Call to your God if you dare. Give that pledge of light to the signet of this nation that affirms that you live and move and have your being under the dome of the Almighty, under the hand of God's will, or your power will be stripped from you.
Why has this occurred? And what can we together do about it? To right the ship of state and to bring about greater possibilities, new energies, and a new focus, such that every man, woman, and child may have what they require to live a life in pursuit of those divine principles and values upon which this nation was established. This has been the focal point of our discussion in Darjeeling in recent months and even years, Blessed Hearts. And many of you have read much and have tried to ascertain what will be the course of this nation and its leadership to bring about this correction, this reevaluation, and a new way that is the way of the light of God. First of all, there must be courage in the hearts of the leaders to speak directly into the issues with forthrightness and truth, calling a spade a spade, calling to task those who have manipulated the markets and the system to their own ends for personal gain and profit to the detriment of the lives of tens of thousands and even millions across this nation and the earth. And where there has been a way that has not been righteous and judicious, a new way must be made plain for all to walk through and upon. And therefore, this requires a new level of divine leadership overshining and sponsoring from our realms within Washington and moving out into all areas of the economy such that a greater action of light and hope may manifest. We begin here because much of the problems have resulted from that which Wall Street has embraced through the international bankers and their systems set up to support a way that is not the way of God. And so I deliver fire now into Wall Street, fire into the economic systems here, fire into every avenue of enterprise and business. And there is a readjustment through the karmic cyclings of energy, whereby certain institutions that have been at the core of this manipulative way will go down and be dissolved, and where a new wave and a new way of light through this economy will emerge. There is divine capitalism in heaven, which is the investment of light into all arenas of activity, whereby God vouchsafes the eternal light of his will, wisdom, and love into the seed beingness of all. This investment allows for that light to flow as talent through enterprise, through nature, into the affairs of mankind. And so you should emulate the processes that God has set in motion, blessed hearts, in creating the structure and the superstructure of your own economic system, seeking not to engage in those activities whereby some profit and the masses are enslaved through excessive taxation, bowing to their overlords and to a system that is corrupt. How can we bring this light of freedom into this arena without causing a great tidal wave of darkness, you may ask? The golden rule must be the standard, and this standard must reign within every heart. For where industry comes from, effort, productivity, and personal initiation and initiative, then there is expansion, blessing, and boon. But where there is an attempt to manipulate and to coerce the working classes to engage in activities that are not benign, then you see all manner of constriction and unholy alliances that have debased the very light of liberty and freedom within this system.
Okay, let's stop for just a minute here. If the solution lies in the golden rule, how will that apply to us as we deal in our own personal economy and our own responsibility? And Matthew, you know, I looked up the golden rule, by the way. I decided to Google it and see what was said. And it indicated that the golden rule is strongly established in all of the major religions. It's there. And I'm just going to read it from Matthew 7:12. Which says, do for others what you want them to do for you. And it goes on to say, this is the teaching of the laws of Moses in a nutshell. This is the Phillips version, so they're a little more modern. So how do we apply this? And I'm just thinking to myself today, it happens in 100 ways. For example, on Tuesday I was preparing food for a woman's meeting at a community activity here in Sulphur Springs. And I was fixing a relish tray. And I found myself skimping on certain things because I decided I wanted to eat them myself. And I thought, you know, who am I thinking of here? Who am I putting first? That's just a little thing. Offering a ride to someone, even though it's going to take you longer to get somewhere. Maybe there's somebody who's older and slower and kind of stiff and you have to kind of help them. Or maybe it's somebody you don't even like, that you need to learn to love. Even not complaining when your husband or your daughter take the best household car, which happens to me all the time, and I end up with this old clunker. Not keeping the best of something for yourself. For instance, sometimes I have given a book away to somebody because I knew they needed it, and because I had two copies of it. So what did I do? I gave them the worst copy, the one that was kind of bunged up, and I kept the best one for myself. Now, I haven't always done that, but I have been known to do that. Stop and think about how many times you put yourself first. This is where it all starts, and then it gets bigger and bigger, the golden rule. It gets into giving and sharing and putting others first in everything and putting those things that are right and good first. Right now we're in the middle of an activity in the Heart Share, in the Heart Center community, because we're trying to raise money. And we've been sharing stories about what we have gone through in the past in giving and sharing our things and the abundance that results for us personally. And I'm just going to share very quickly something that happened to me. In Luke 6:36, it says, "For if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. An overflowing measure, pressed down to make room for more." And this is what God promises us, that we can't outgive Him. And so my husband and I began doing this with things years and years ago, and we didn't have any money, like vehicles. We weren't rich, but Russ could sometimes find good deals on cars. And one of our first cars was an old X-Taxi, which carried our family along with a small trailer and all our belongings across the United States to the East Coast, while a friend drove our small VW for us because it couldn't pull the trailer. We met another friend when we got to the East Coast who desperately required a car for his family and so he could go to work. And so we gave away our taxi to this other family, and we tried to make the best of it with our little VW. And then amazingly, we managed to count the right number of paper clips in a jar, and my husband won a motorcycle. So now we had two means of transportation. But again, we gave away our VW to another acquaintance who required a small car so he could get to work. But shortly thereafter, a man who I had never met gave us an almost new Honda with a sunroof. He had heard my husband speak in our church, and he just felt led to do this. Later on, we gave away an old Buick, an older Buick that we had, to a friend who was a member of the Summit Lighthouse and had lost her job, her house, and had been ill. Shortly after we gave her our Buick, we won another Buick, brand new, in a drawing at a health food conference. And then that Buick got run into by two horses that were loose one evening as I was returning to work. And this Buick was totaled. Everything was ruined except me. I got out just fine. My hair was full of glass, my shoes were full of glass, but I didn't have a cut on me. But shortly thereafter, we acquired another new and better car for less than the insurance payment on the horse-totaled vehicle, with money left over. So we find that we truly cannot outgive God, who gives to us an overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But a very important aspect of giving and sharing of yourself to others in every little way is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He said, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." We always made sure we were giving our things away cheerfully, and we graduated from cars to our money, and that has helped us. I can't tell you. That's another story because we don't have time tonight. But we have been blessed because of giving. Now I'm just going to go on here with Elmoria.
Thus we call forth the light from the great central sun to descend into the affairs of mankind here. For holy virtue to be established through strands of light into new activities and businesses that engage the highest potential of mankind's virtues and their work and service to life.
Just briefly here, because I know some people don't know what this Great Central Sun is all about. The Great Central Sun is described as the nucleus of the cosmos. It's a massive energy vortex and its foremost energy source for all of the cosmos in where we live. It's the heart center of it, in fact. And it is actually behind our sun of our planet, and it's you cannot see it. You cannot see it physically. It emanates, according to the Maha Chohan, one of our masters. He says it emanates such love that all is drawn into it by the power of its focus and purity. You can become any virtue and many virtues through the repolarization of yourself with a great central sun magnet. He says, like attracts like, and so what the great central sun magnet attracts is the God fire buried within you, drawing you into itself as you hold within your being your own magnet of pure love. And I'll tell you, one of the best ways to grow spiritually is to get up in the morning and see the sunrise. And there are certain ways to do this, and I would love to help you if you call me or email me. I will give you some information on that. If you can't see the sunrise or you can't do it, at least try to do the sunset. If you can't do that, I will tell you other things that you can do to honor and become very aware and meditate on the great central sun and what that does. It actually emanates light through our sun, the sun of our planet, which makes the light then coming to us and the sun of our solar plexus, where our sun dwells, much more powerful as we meditate on it.
Much of this economy is built upon the sands of human foolishness, blessed hearts, and therefore a new structure and foundation must be laid. Why, even your founding fathers warned you of what could come to play if the central banks would manipulate the very life essence of this people. And yet this has come to pass by those who continue to enslave humanity through their manipulation. Courage must be the byword of this day and age. Courage to move, courage to change, courage to thrust forth the light and to declare a new way and a new wave. Dearest ones, I ask you to begin a novena for this economy the day after this class, beginning November 1st, offers Ascension Day, whereby there will be, for 33 days, a focus on the economy of this nation, for I have yet to receive that dispensation that I have been looking forward to begin a new venture of light through this movement for the expansion of its economy and for the contacting of others, new light bearers, to move into an understanding of the dynamics of this dispensation in order to support expansion of your work through the media and many outlets. Therefore, if, blessed hearts, each and every one of you will pray to me and give this call 10.010, as well as call for the economy, and see the light from your own God presence energizing what I would call a new economy for America, then you will see a shift, a change, and the way that is the way of God coming to play here in New York and throughout this nation. It may still be that certain systems will continue to crumble even as this new way is established. In certain sectors, it will require greater oversight and control, and yet there must not be so much control, taxation, and regulation that it stifles the ability of every man, woman, and child to have the resources that they require to expand the economy. Do you see?
You don't have to have this song in your possession tonight. It was written by El Moria, and it can be found in the written and musical form by first going to the home page of the Heart Center Community, click on the purple menu bar on Media, and then on the drop-down, click on Prayers and Songs, and scroll way down till you find a song called I Am the One. It's in alphabetical order under the I's. Or if you can't do this and you're interested in taking part in this novena, which would be wonderful, good karma for all of us, contact me and I will send the song to you, as well as one of the prayers that we're doing for our economy. If you can actually join the broadcast, it starts at 8 o'clock my time, that's Central Time, or 9 o'clock Eastern Time. It's 7 o'clock Mountain Time and 6 o'clock Pacific Time. So they're doing it during these times, plus at the end of the broadcast, you usually get to hear one of these dictations like we're sharing tonight. There are other broadcasts on the website, and there are ways to find them, and I won't go into that tonight, but you might want to be serious about doing this novena, so that El Moria can work on the economy like he wants to.
And therefore, where there are excessive taxes and regulations, this itself is constricting, must be looked at, and you must even write your leaders and communicate with them to see what is actually occurring in your local economies, and ask them to reconceive of a way that will liberate the abundance of the common man, woman, and child in order to secure those liberties and rights that are truly theirs, vouchsafed by your Constitution and the laws of the land. When each and every one of you takes action in this realm and sees your life as indicative of the common man, woman, or child in this nation, and of how you can, through right choice, work toward this change, Blessed Hearts, then it will be so because of the power of your intention, who you are, and the light that you carry. Without a divine economy, it is difficult for a nation to survive and for freedom to manifest in all realms. And therefore, this is where I have placed my focus, and will continue to do so for the next 24 months, for you see, Blessed Hearts, that much will still transpire after these elections, which could be problematic, and simply because some come into office with a certain drive and intention does not mean that because of the problems within your Senate and House of Representatives, and the way that they operate, that these ideals will be embraced and enacted into law. It will take...
Okay, stopping just for a moment. We want to speak briefly about what could happen here. I've heard several senators or congressmen interviewed on television say that whoever it is, whatever group or people or persons it is that changes the economy into that which is right and good, they will become the most unpopular people in the nation. Because what will happen is we will have to cut way back in lots of areas. We will have to possibly go through some of the things that I recall, and now I'm admitting I'm an old lady, that I went through during the Second World War. During the Second World War, people were put to a test like I have never seen since. The world was under attack, and the United States was included. In order to build weapons and defend ourselves, we had to sacrifice. Things were scarce. We didn't have sugar. We didn't have bacon or even very much milk or eggs. And those people that had chickens and eggs would trade with those people that had a cow and had milk. And people that lived in cities and towns, they really had it rough, especially if they weren't prepared. And we lived in a little town of about 14,000 people. All the people who supplied these things were either fighting in the war or working in the shipyards and in ammunition supply places. I watched a lady in my neighborhood who had dropped a bag of a dozen eggs. She didn't have, we didn't even have egg cartons at that time. She dropped this bag of a dozen eggs accidentally as she got out of the car into the gutter. She was a beautifully dressed lady, and she had a nice, fairly nice car. But she was so upset that she got a container and scooped up those broken eggs out of that gutter into the container and saved them. And we may find ourselves in this kind of a position soon. Well, we have the soulfulness to do it. Few seconds ago, Elmoria said, you can, through right choice, work through this change because of the power of your intention, who you are, and the light that you carry. That's part of soulfulness, but we're going to talk more about soulfulness in a few minutes. We didn't even have money at that time because of it all going into the war effort. We had a victory garden, and it was one of the happiest times of my life because we were all working together on our garden. We were hiding together under the table during air raids. We were sharing what we had with each other. We didn't have school buses. We walked. People didn't have cars, many of them. So those of us who did have old clunkers, we helped others get to their destinations. And right now, today, our country is in another fight for its very life. Economically, and most people don't even realize it. So study it and contact me if you would like more info, because Elmoria said, we are to share progressive revelation, what is revealed to you and what you get as you study and look and pray. You need to know a way to share. Now, you can share a lot of it on the internet with people, just forwarding it. And sometimes I get a little bit cold feet, and so I think, oh, wow, if I share this, they're all going to be mad at me. So I write at the top, this was really forwarded to me by somebody else. So I'm just forwarding them. That's what I'll say sometimes because I get cold feet. But we need to have courage. He said, courage is the word of the day. So now we'll go on.
Great intention and fire to change the ways of Washington. Therefore, I am calling forth a conference in 2011, in the capital of this nation, that Saint Germain and I may again anchor our fire there for the victory of this land and the leadership that must emerge to move America into the light. Therefore, I ask the heart friends, even some of you who are here this day from that region, to commune and to communicate with the events team leadership to determine the best timing for our coming and for the release of light in Washington. For our blessed hearts, it is essential that this light be anchored and that many be inspired with a new vision for America and the world. From that specific point of the capital of this nation. O Holy One, you have striven often with all of your might, to pray and decree for America and her people. You love liberty. You love freedom. You feel through your own soulfulness the pinings of the sons and daughters of God within this nation for their righteous rights to live with these liberties intact and not in all disarray. It is time that America awaken and realize what is occurring in many areas through this form of manipulation that is subtle and yet from our realms is obvious.
He's just finished saying, you feel through your own soulfulness the pinings of the sons and daughters of God within this nation for their rights to live these liberties. So, what is soulfulness? At this recent New York City event, which was at the very end of October, we heard the spirit of soulfulness. This is the only time that I am aware of that she or he has ever spoken. We heard this spirit say, when we live through our heart, our soul expands. When we live through our soul, our heart expands. In this heart stream, we learned that we have two souls. Our first little soul of our little self that craved union with our second soul. Our second soul is called our oversoul. And it's called our oversoul because it envelops and absorbs our little soul when we become so full. So full. Get that? So full of love and awareness of that oversoul that we desire to become one with it. At that point, our soul has risen from the sacrum, that's your tailbone, also known as the sacred room where your soul starts. It has moved right up to the heart where it meets with and becomes one with the oversoul. That oversoul, as I've said earlier, is also called our I Am Presence, our Father, Mother, God, our solar presence, and our higher self. All of those and more. So, is your soul full of love and awareness of that oversoul? When it becomes so full of that love and awareness, it moves up into your heart, and your heart expands. Your soul expands by moving up and moving into your heart. Now, how do we do this? We talked about this before, but we will always talk about it because it's the most important thing you can do in your whole life on this planet is to become so full of love that you are one with your I Am presence. We do this, and I've even practiced this today. And we do it starting out by everything that you do, everything in the day, you say, should I do this or should I do that? You will start getting a definite yes and a definite no. You try it. You'll get a definite yes or a definite no. And sometimes it'll be, now you already know. You know the answer to that, so I'm going to let you discover it or come through with it. And you stop and you think for a minute, you pray, and you know what to do. Whenever you wonder what to do, how to answer somebody, what your activities of the day should be, and how long you should eat lunch even, and what you should eat for lunch, and what you should eat for dinner, everything you do that takes some kind of a little decision, ask, should I do this? What should I do about that? You don't have to just ask yes or no answers. You can just ask, what should you do? And the answer will come. But it's like a muscle. The more you move that muscle, the better it responds to your command.
So, blessed hearts, consider every alternative. Act with discernment, poise, and presence. And know that with God all things are possible. With the Lord, all miracles may manifest, and even in the twinkling of an eye, there may be change for the better. When many more of you hold together a field and a vision of freedom and liberty, with the Goddess of Liberty, Saint Germain, and me, for this nation and her people.
So, did you see some characteristics of soulfulness in that last paragraph that he just shared? He said, act with discernment, poise, and your presence, a capital P, and know that with God all things are possible. This is what happens when you are constantly in communication with your presence. You will act with discernment. You will consider alternatives, and you will say, wait a minute, what else is there we could do here about this? And you will know. Many of you hold together, he said, a field and a vision of freedom and liberty right now. And you will see and know what to do as you become so full of love for your Father, Mother, God. We're going to take a minute here because we're right at the end, and the rest of this is a prayer that we're going to be doing. But first, I'd like to summarize a little bit. We have learned that we have to share what we know with others regarding selflessness, and that the banking system and the selfishness is the cause of most of our economic problems. That's kind of a simplistic statement there. And that El Moria says that the bad guys are going to go down, and that divine capitalism will require us to be filled with this soulfulness, and that we are required to consider alternatives and to act with discernment, poise, and with our oversoul or our Father, Mother, God to solve our personal economy. And we need to be praying this for all of the members of our Congress, that the veils of ignorance will be removed from them so the light can shine through, and that they will see what to do and do it, no matter what the result is regarding their popularity. Autumn, I think you were going to share a little bit from question five. Let's see, question five here. No, number six. Where will El Moria be placing his focus for the next couple of years? And basically, what is God requiring of us?
Yes, hi. In the dictation, El Moria said, without a divine economy, it is difficult for a nation to survive and for freedom to manifest in all realms. And therefore, this is where I, El Moria, have placed my focus and will continue to do so for the next 24 months. So upon his focus is going to be and has been upon this divine economy manifesting, our divine economy manifesting in the Darjeeling Council and over New York and Washington, D.C., as far as I'm aware.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's my answer.
And what does he require of you and me in all of this?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I heard is courage, the courage to move and change, and for in our daily lives to act with right action, right decisions. And specifically, he asked for us to give calls for for abundance and for this divine economy, and co-creating with him using specifically 10-0-0-10, the call to beloved El Moria. Also, to be involved with our local economies by requesting information about our local economies, and also asking our senators to consider a new way of liberating the abundance for the common man, woman, and child. Also, to employ the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And those are a number of things that practically, you know, practicality speaking, that we can employ and do in our life. So, yeah.
Thank you. One of the things that just came to mind as you were speaking, we sometimes are overflowing on our emails with all of these requests for money, and in order to inform the senators what they need to be doing, there's a recent bill here, S-510, that has a lot to do with our health food stores and freedom to buy vitamins and minerals and protein and nutrients and so forth. And so we have had requests to contact our senators for that. A lot of the places, AFA, which I can't remember what it stands for, that's a good one. It's a Christian group, and they do a lot of good. You can either donate to them or you don't have to. They will be glad to send your message to your senator. They know who he is. You just tell them what district you live in. And I think it's very good if you can pick out some of these. I know it's kind of hard to do all of them. I really admire Barbara Gabbert because she does really keep up with a whole lot of these groups to contact our senators and tell them what she thinks. Okay, we talked about the cause of most of our economic problems, basically due to selfishness and the darkness that is in our Congress. And we heard El Moria prophesy that these groups will come to no good and that divine capitalism needs to be manifested here on earth. And just as the Bible says, in heaven as it is on earth, it says in the Lord's Prayer. That needs to be our daily prayer, that we will experience heaven on earth. And we pretty much covered, I think, all the questions that were on the invitation. And now I want you to do something. We're going to finish this dictation or this heart stream, and I want you to repeat after El Moria. Just listen to it, and when you hear an opportunity, repeat after what he says.
Therefore, I ask you to rise now, blessed ones. Raise up your own torch of fire with the goddess of liberty. As we say, I reclaim New York for liberty. I reclaim New York for liberty, in the light of God that always prevails.
In the light of God that always prevails.
And I also claim Washington for liberty.
And I also claim Washington for liberty.
In the light of God that always prevails.
In the light of God that always prevails.
And an arc of light is established this day.
An arc of light is established this day.
Between New York and Washington.
Between New York and Washington.
That will result.
That will result.
In a new economy.
In a new economy.
In a new wave of light.
In a new wave of light.
Because I am calling it forth.
Because I am calling it forth.
Empowered by El Moria this day.
Empowered by El Moria this day.
And the masters of love, wisdom, power.
And the masters of love, wisdom, and power.
Who love me.
Who love me.
And who love this nation.
And who love this nation.
And its divine destiny.
And its divine destiny.
And so that divine destiny.
And so that divine destiny.
Will manifest.
Will manifest.
So help me God.
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 Amen.
Amen.
By the power of your word, the heavens have opened this day, and angels of victory descend to walk the streets of New York and Washington, to inspire hearts, and to bring forth this new wave of light into action. Thank you, Blessed Hearts, for the fire of your determination and for the victory that is already won by God's grace. Blessings, peace. And von dir to you all. Amen.
Does anybody have any questions or anything you would like to share at this time? We'll take about 5 minutes for sharing. Just press star 6 if you have any questions or anything you would like to share.
Hello.
Okay, then what we will do is we will
Hello.
Go into our...
Donna?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, this is Leela.
Hi, Leela.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
This is just a wonderful session. The only thing I'd like to share is that for those who were in New York, I don't know about anyone else, but at the end of that session, when we all rose and repeated those words after El Moira, I just felt it in my heart, and tears just flowed. Tears just flowed, and I saw this divine economy in the USA in front of my eyes.
Oh,
it was just such words cannot describe what I felt, and I did get the impression that others felt it too. That's why you heard that applause at the end.
Yes.
Because it was so tremendous. It was so very tremendous and heartfelt, and I know for me that the tears were just flowing after that and just a while ago in remembrance of it.
Oh, you're so fortunate to have been there. I think a key thing that you shared just now is visualizing. And as you, when you feel in your heart this great love and response to one of the masters, it helps you to visualize what it is he wants you to see. And he wants us to visualize the great gold, crystal golden age coming upon this planet where the economy is not a concern, where everybody has what they need, where everybody is loving, giving, and performing according to the golden rule. The visualization that you got, Leela, hold that. And I would challenge everybody to hold seek a visualization that you can hold of the divine economy, because that's what will bring it. Again and again and again, the masters say, visualize, visualize, visualize. See what it is that you want to see. They tell us that the people in our lives, we are to visualize them as in the Immaculate Conception. See them as perfect. See what they would look like if they were angels and they were perfected. And they are. And see them that way because their soul is. Okay, I'm going to take prayer requests now. If you have a prayer request, just hit star 6 and tell me. I have one prayer request I'm going to put down for Treva Bell. Treva's daughter, Colleen, is in the kind of the last stages of cancer. She has gone through much, much pain, much distress, as she recently, if I got this correctly, fractured her neck. She has been in, her two sons were able to care for her for the past 3 months, but now because of this situation and because she's had to have chemotherapy, she's going back into University Park Hospital, which is kind of like a nursing home. They call it a rehab place, but she really needs to go into a hospice where she would be much more comfortable, but she has gone through a great deal of testing. We don't know why some people have a lot of pain when they have cancer and others do not. But in this case, Colleen has had much testing. Her soul has been tried, and I think she's passed many tests. We don't see how people do it, but they do. So let's pray for Colleen. Her name is Colleen Hershey, I believe. So let's pray for Colleen tonight. I'm going to put her down. And anybody else now?
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
It's Shola.
Hi, Lola. It's Shola?
Hi, can you hear me? Yeah, it's Shola.
Ah, good.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to thank you again and everyone in the prayer group for praying for Nick. He had the bypass surgery, so he's still doing well.
Good.
So
He's continuing to heal then.
Yeah, and, you know, and continue to pray for my mom, too, with all her, the pain she's feeling, too.
Right. We've got Minerva down here.
Yeah.
And I know that Minerva's had many, many challenges also with arthritis, with her face pain,
right.
Facial pain, with asthma, and other things. So we've got her down. Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a prayer request.
Uh-huh.
My family, I have one daughter, four grandsons, a son-in-law, and four great-grandchildren. My one grandson, they have had very hard lives where they kind of, well, like my grandson is over 400 pounds.
Oh my.
And he wants to have the surgery, and the doctors don't want him to have it because he had to do so much. Like my son-in-law was a severe alcoholic, and he had to give up his life, as did my other two, to see to it that his. Well, he had to get big enough to stop him from beating my daughter. But
Tell me your name.
Joyce.
Joyce. Okay, Joyce.
I'm in Chicago. And
Joyce Saxon. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you got on the call.
Oh, I did. And there's four boys. My 16-year-old grandson had to leave school and support his father, who wouldn't work, and my daughter wouldn't leave him and wouldn't get any help. So the four boys have suffered. They're now grown up and married.
Mm-hmm.
But they are they have emotional pain bodies that are severe. They're suffering from alcoholism and memories that are keeping them from reconciling and being able to love us again. They have suffered greatly, and they are absolutely wonderful young men.
Yes.
And my one grandson had to beat his brother out of gangs. I mean, you know, it's been horrific on them. And they are so good. They're such good young men, and they have faith in everything. I mean, faith in the Lord.